But thank you so much for coming tonight. Our theme this year, as Yvonne said, is expectancy. The Lord spoke to me back in January about really stirring that up in the body of Christ. Because, you know, we can begin to look at the way the world's looking and how bad things are and how dark things are. And we really can get caught up in the darkness of what's going on. I mean, you can't hardly cut on the television or go anywhere where there's not some these people pitted against each other. That one's arguing. This is going on. You know, I'm just like, Lord, how long are you going to tolerate that? How long are you going to watch this? And the Lord continues to remind me of his loving faithfulness and kindness, that none should perish. Like, he'll tolerate all that bunch of craziness, that none should perish. And so at the beginning of the year, I was like, Lord, what are you really want doing in the body of Christ right now? And he's like, I want you to go in and stir the flames of expectancy in the lives of believers again. Because they've gotten to a place, many of the church has gotten to a place where we've lost hope. We've lost our expectancy. The only thing we're hoping for is that someday we get to heaven. And outside of that, we've kind of just lost. Life does that. It has a way of tearing at our hope and our trust. It has a way of pecking at the very truth of God's word. God has never changed. His word is what it is. He is who he says he is, and he does what he says he'll do, always. But life has a way of chipping away at that resolve in us. I want to talk to you tonight about expectancy. And, you know, I was, when you think about that, like, I don't know about you, but I'm not one of those folk that like to wait in long lines. You know, so my kids came back from Disney World, and they're like, Nina, we waited 2 hours to ride the blah, blah. And I'm like, how many ways can you spell no? How many ways? 2 hours for a 60-second ride? I mean, like, help me. I'm always looking for the shortest grocery line. Anybody else? I'm so thankful that they have the little do-your-own-grocery thing. Like, it freed me. Well, now I'm on Instacart, and they bring the groceries to the house. All I got to do is get on the pewter and type them in, and within an hour, they bring them and knock on my door, and I'm like, Jesus is God. I'm not one that waits well. I waited 1 hour one day for a dentist, and at the 59-minute, I'm like, mm-mm. So I got up, went to the little lady, and she said, oh, you're next on the list. I said, no, ma'am, I'm leaving right out that door. Like, I just need to let you know that when you call me, the rapture has not occurred. And you were left behind. You about to see my behind exiting the door. Oh, no, ma'am, you're up next. I said, listen, you wouldn't wait 15 minutes without charging me. I'm not sitting here an hour. The dentist called me in about an hour. So apologetic. I'm like, does this mean I get my teeth cleaned free for the next year? No, that's not how that works. But anyway, I'm not one that waits in long, long lines. I think the longest I ever waited was when we were all caught up in the Brownsville revival. But there was a huge amount of expectancy coming out of that. Like, you watching all those miracles, those people, like the evangelist would go, and everybody would fall out. And I'm like, you know, at first I'm like, oh, come on. Like, the sheer weight of the person in front of you, maybe they got a little on them. And then they all fall, and you fall like dominoes. Well, I'm going to tell you what, that is not what happened. Because I don't hoss myself down there. So we get down there, and they're saying, you know, like, they open the building at 5. But folk line up at 5 in the morning and sit in the sun to go to church at 5 p.m. Well, I, being we need to be in the front of the line. I'm like, we know, girls, this is an adventure. Let's just say it's an adventure. Let's take a lounge chair and a blanket, and we'll go at 4 a.m., and we'll call it an adventure, and we'll sit out, and we'll wait with expectancy for the church doors to open. Honey, we were out there for you, freezing my butt off. It's April. I'm shivering, going, God, this better be real. You know, because these girls are going to kill me if it's not. We ain't never going to be friends again. If something doesn't happen and you don't show up tonight, I'm in big trouble. Because I done talked all eight of these women to get out here in a lounge chair, wrapped up in a blanket with my head all covered up because I'm like, ooh. And it's in Pensacola, Florida. But I am here to tell you that by noon, we were shedding. Layers. And there's so many people, like, I thought I was going to be the only one at 4 a.m. Those people were out there, like, in their chairs. And I'm like, what are y'all doing? And so all day long, we sit in our little lounge chairs to get to church that night. And there's, like, 9 million people trying to share the bathrooms, lined up to get to go to the bathroom. Like, I'm like, who's in charge of the bathroom ministry around here? It's a bunch of stuff just to see Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, it was well worth it. Something about that expectancy on this end, right? And the deliverance on that end. But how many of you know that middle stuff? Like sitting there, 13 hours in a lounge chair. Yeah, it's the middle stuff. I want to talk to you about expectancy and expectations tonight. Because they're different. Like, God's word is true. He's going to do what he says he's going to do. But how about that middle part? How about that middle part? How about that middle part? So let's talk about what expectations and expectancy are. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you that tonight, Lord, that you have a word for us. And I believe, Lord, a word that will redirect. Father, I feel so strongly. A word to redirect some of us that are trapped. Lord, we're trapped in that bondage of being disappointed in you, being disappointed in our lives, being disappointed with the way things have turned out. Lord, would you free the captives tonight? Help us to realign your word, your truth in us, so that, Father, we have the freedom to see what reality really is. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and do a work in us. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So expectation, now don't just grab me right here and say, duh. Expectation expects things, right? Expectation expects a certain outcome or that an outcome will be derived a certain way within a certain amount of time. We have certain expectations that this is going to happen. Like, we have an expectation that spring's going to happen every year. We have an expectation that Christmas happens on the 25th of December, right? We have expectations of how we want things to happen in a certain time frame and all that. We have those expectations. We all have expectations. We have expectations about marriage. We have expectations about being a mother. We have expectations about our money, our career, the way our figure's going to look at 100. We got some expectations. We all have it. We all have those preconceived notions of what we think things are going to, how they're going to happen. But expectancy doesn't expect things to happen in a particular way. Expectancy bears the air of hope with it. Expectancy has faith that is attached to it. Faith that something good will come. But it releases the expectation of how it will come, when it will come. Because I'm going to tell you what, sometimes we can get all caught up and get really, really excited about something God's doing. We can see it in somebody else's life. We can read it in the Word, and we get all stirred up. And then if it doesn't happen at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, it's like, huh. Well, that must have been for Pastor Jenny, but it certainly won for me. Let me tell you what. God's got a plan in the way he does things and in his time frame. We just need to readjust the way we view and the way we try to control God. Oh, she didn't say that, did she? She didn't say we try to control God. Did she say that? She did. She did. Now, maybe you've never done that, but I certainly, they were talking about Sunday. They were talking about, Pastor Jim was talking about, or maybe it was Daniel, that if you're trying to control God. And I had this time where I thought I was asking the Lord a question, and I kept getting a no, right? And so I conjured up in my small pea brain that if I did it right, God would change his mind. Right? So, no, it's a true story. So I laid out this beautiful rug, right? This beautiful thing. And I lit about 7 candles. And I put on worship music. And I did my little thing, you know. Woo! I did my thing. And I laid down and I prayed. And I prayed in tongues. And then I said, and I asked the question, right? Right? And a very resounding no. I slapped the floor. This is a true story, y'all. Y'all won't never come to church anymore. No. I slapped that floor and I said, well, then you better give me a love in my heart for that person because I don't want to do this anymore. I got up off that floor with that, right? But I tell you what God did. God put a love in my heart, a deep, deep love in my heart for a person that I had serious. Like, I'm like, I don't want to ever see them again. Just release me from this I don't want to. I'm not going to. But I heard the Lord say no, and it kept me from walking out of something that would have been detrimental for the rest of my life. But we don't get to control God. He's big enough to work out the circumstances in the way that he wants them to do. Now, you're going to get a little party favor tonight. They're passing out these little party favors. So when you, like, the Lord speaks to me about, you know, he always speaks to me in the natural realm, about science, about things in the spirit. So when you get this little seed packet, right? I mean, like, I got some expectancy going on, right? Like, mine's pink, and it's light pink and dark pink. Now, yours is all going to be different. Everybody's getting a different party favor, but it says heirloom, so we all like that. We got that. But there's an expectancy about this seed packet. Like, I'm going to plant this seed, and then they're all going to grow up, and I'm going to have beautiful flowers, right? The problem is, from the time I put the seed in the ground to the time they come up, I don't get to pick how many are going to get to come to life. I don't get to pick how many. I don't get to pick where they're going to come up. I put the seed in the ground and I covered it up, and then I have to leave the rest of it alone. But how many of you know we don't like to do that? God gives us a word, and we want to get in the middle of that and try to help God figure it out. And then that word, like, we get a word from the prophet, right? Oh, you're going to be doing blah, blah, and blah, and blah, 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 and blah, right? And it's like, great. So tomorrow morning, somebody's going to call me, and I'm going to be on a world-famous tour preaching all over the world. And no calls. And no calls the next day. And it's like, okay, Lord, like, I know you said that. Like, I know you said, you know, like, did you hear him say that? Like, maybe you didn't listen well, because that's what he said. I got it, but come on now. So in your little seed packet, there's expectancy here. You don't expect to put these seeds in the ground and have apples come up. You will be bitterly disappointed. But sometimes what we hear the Lord say and the waiting time of what we see him do causes us to begin to doubt that God will honor his word. But God always honors his word. I want to show you out of John 12. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, there's a process in the soil. There's a process in the waiting. Come on, somebody. There's a process where the word of the prophet or the word of the Lord has to come to you, and it gets in the middle of you, and it has to die in there. Where your flesh gets out of the way, where your expectation of how you're going to make that word come to pass dies. It lays there and dies. I wish I could tell you that it would die tomorrow and you could get up and get going. It was on a 17-year journey with my husband, 18, actually, almost 18-year journey with my husband's physical health. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. And as much as I did and I prayed and I tried to control God, anointed all the stuff, swept out demons, did all the stuff, it was still an 18-year journey. And it was in the middle that I had to hold on to all that I knew that God had promised that my husband would walk in health. And 18 years down the road, we see the manifestation of that. How many of you know that sometimes we're tempted in the middle of that to go, I either didn't hear right or God's lost his flipping mind. Because I can't walk this road anymore. See, I feel like that's why sometimes with expectations, we try to control God because we don't know anything else to do in the waiting. So let me just get my hand to the plow and help God. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat gets into the soil and dies, it remains alone. See, you can take these and not plant them, and you get nothing from it. Nothing. Nothing. Not a wish. You put these in the ground and let them die, and you, with expectancy, you will see a harvest. I don't know how many. That's the point. I don't know how many. But look what it says. The word of the Lord says this, but its death will produce many new kernels. There's something about the seed dying that breaks open. There's something that God does with us in the waiting. But that's not one of my favorite words. Something in the waiting. And look what it says. It will produce a plentiful harvest of new lives. Something about death that's good. Now, when you look at your seed packet, we can't say how many will come up. We just know they'll have plants, right? So some of us, like, give the whole planting thing. No, we don't ever do it because I kill every plant that's in my house. Like, I don't have any good way with it. And I'm kind of like that, too. The only ones I put in my house are Easter lilies because I only water them when they do this. When they do that, then I water them and they perk right back up. All the rest of them plants die in my house. But when the Easter lily goes just like that, just a little bit, just like that, and I water it, it just wakes right back up. It's a miracle. It's like getting the Holy Ghost on it. Right? Like, it's the Holy Ghost. I mean, like, it perks. Somebody else raised Easter lilies other than me. Somebody tell me, am I telling the truth? Come on, that's the truth. So all the rest of those guys, I can't do them because they die. So I love Easter lilies. That's a story. So I'm good. If you want, ever want to give me Easter, you give it to me. That's good. The rest of those things are going to die. I have no expectancy that it's going to live. But one of the reasons that we don't do this is because every time we put our hands to it, it's failed. I wonder how many times God really wants to rebirth or stir something within us again. Put us in a place, do something fresh in us. And we're like, no, every time I've tried that, I just can't. And so we quit even trying. We quit volunteering. We quit trying to serve because it's never been successful. Can I tell you that if you're still breathing, there's hope? It can be successful. It can still work out. It can still work out. But failed expectations have a way of keeping us from trying, don't they? There's only, like those of us that are older like me, there's only so many times you get knocked down and get knocked down and get knocked down, and finally you're like, let the young ones get knocked down a little. Let me just drink some sweet tea on the veranda. Let the little ones. No, come on now. Where are my seniors like me? Thank you for being honest. Okay, praise the Lord. But those failed expectations are often birthed in us because we've believed things and we've had visions for things and they really didn't line up with, but we see them in everybody else. God's moving in everybody else. He's using everybody else. Why is he not using me? And so we begin to put our timetable on God saying that he's going to use you. God said that he has plans to do good by you and not harm you. Plans to give you a good hope and a good future. Can I tell you what I expect that to be? I could. But I have no idea whether that'll be true or not. But there's expectancy that God's word is true. See, if we can get a hold of tonight with expectancy, we want to go back and believe the word of the Lord for just what it says. And leave our thoughts about how God does it out of the way. Right? God speaks. And we need to begin to cultivate a spirit of expectancy. Now, I want to show you a passage. Comes out of Genesis 8 and 12. Can you put that next slide up for me? Out of Genesis 8 and 12. It's talking about seed time and harvest. You know this. As long as the earth endures, there will be sun and summers and winters and all. And there will be seed time and harvest. When you break that word apart, you've got seed that goes in the ground. You've got time. And then it produces a harvest. And then look. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap a harvest. Look what it says, if we don't give up. See, I find so many, like I had somebody last week say to me, I had no idea, I had no expectation that at 40 I would be living like this. This is a pitiful way to be living at 40. And what does it do? It begins to look at how bad we are as opposed to how good God is. And I get that. I've been there. There's probably not a one of us in this room that couldn't raise our hand and say, I've been there. I've been at that place where I was discouraged and despondent and wondering, God, is your word really true for me? But I want to bring you back to tonight that there's time. If the Lord has spoken something into your heart, if the Lord's given you a promise, His word is filled with promises. Say to people all the time, what are some of the promises of God you're believing for? Only you know what I hear? Folk don't know the promises of God. Oh, ladies, let me tell you, the Bible is filled with the promises of God. And if you can read it in His word, you can have it. You can have it. So I want to encourage you tonight. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Don't grow weary of doing well. Don't grow weary in the middle. Don't grow weary when the time that God's working things out, it's processing, it's taking time. Don't grow weary in doing that. Now, you know, when we plant things, they happen at different times. This is a true story. I planted these Roma tomatoes last year. Said they'd be up in 60 to 90 days. So with expectancy, because I love Roma tomatoes, put them in the thing, put them with the steak, fed them the tomato food, prayed over them, called them up out of the ground. That's the truth. I do all that, right? Call those bad boys up out of the ground. 60 days, 61 days, 62 days. Excuse me, you were supposed to be producing it 60 days. That's what the packet said. Mm-hmm. That's called expectation. Excuse me, it's 65 days. We should have at least 3 tomatoes on the vine right now. So after about, 85 days, I'm like, you know what? You are a heathen, cursed of the devil. And I'm like, I am not watering you anymore. I am not giving you no more tomato food. I'm not giving you any more of my best prayers. Nothing. I let those bad boys alone. That's it. I'm like, well, I won't tell what I said. But anyway, praise the Lord. Within the next couple of weeks, after I had shunned them and talked ugly to them, I got the nicest little tomatoes coming up out of the ground. They were hanging all over that bush, about 40 of them. And I'm like, I had all those expectations for you. But I gave up on my expectancy that when I put the seed in the ground, it would produce a harvest. And when it didn't produce it when I wanted to, I began to talk ugly to it. Wonder how many of the promises of God we've begun to talk ugly to in our own lives because of that little time word right there. Because, you know, God doesn't allow us to control Him. He does a work in our lives in the way that He wants to. God doesn't change in the waiting. He's waiting for us to change in the waiting. He's waiting for the condition of our heart to change. Because, you know, Abba Father knows. If He gave you something right now, what you do with it. He knows whether you would bring that seed to fruition. And I'm going to talk to you about a couple of women in the Bible in a minute. He knows whether you'd bring that seed to fruition or whether you'd wound it. And sometimes rather than have us wound a seed, He'll hold the seed. Doesn't mean He's going to change His mind. Because what God has planned for us, He will bring to fruition. But the timing of the Lord is what we're looking at. The timing. And you know, there's something about that whole murmuring that God listens to. Stop at those children of Israel, right? Brought them across the Red Sea, got them out of bondage. 400 years they cried for a deliverer. God brings them out, cross them over the river. He provides. Their clothes don't wear out. Their shoes don't. I mean, like, provide, provide, provide. And what do they do? Murmur, run their mouth the whole time. God's like, boys. Mm-mm. All of y'all, little group that was in the little murmuring community, none of y'all are going to see the promised land. You're going to die right here, and the generation coming up that didn't run their mouth and murmur, you will go in and receive the promise. Oh, ladies, come on tonight. Let the Lord put a seal around our mouth that we don't begin to murmur and complain when we haven't seen God do what we wanted Him to do when we said He should do it. put a seal around our mouth, God. Not let us murmur about the things that you're doing in our lives. When God says he's going to do it, he'll work out a plan so that when it comes to fruition in your life, it will not only bless you, it will bless nations of people. But God knows right when to do it. He's always on time. So the children of Israel were murmuring, weren't they? What about Moses? Right in that mouth. Strike that rock. God's like, mm-mm. Nope. You're not going to get to force me into bringing water out of a rock. I don't care if you do have an expectation that I can. I'm going to show you I'm God. I'm not doing that. I told you to speak to that. And he didn't get to go into the promised land. God let him see it. But he didn't get to go in. God help us to want. How about the religious people around Jesus? Always murmuring. They had the seed of life in front of them. And what did they do? Murdered it. You kill the seed, you get no harvest. Come on, somebody, let that sink in. You kill the seed, you get no harvest. Tonight I want to talk to you briefly about an interchange where we're going to talk about the heart, which is where we hold the seed. It's our mind, our will, our emotions, and the womb. Because all of us are women in this room. We got one. The womb is where we carry life. It's where we bring life to its fullness. It's where we give birth to life from. Yes? So I want to talk to you about three different women, three different scenarios where seed and their expectation of the seed had a very direct effect on the harvest that came from their womb. How about Sarah? Okay? How about Sarah? So God says to her, you're going to carry, says to Abraham, Abraham says to Sarah, you're going to carry the child of promise. Like, and your children will be abundant as the stars. You're going to carry the seed of promise. But 25 years. And what does Sarah do? She decides, you know what? God is not moving fast enough. Let me help him. Let me help him. What'd she do? She created an Ishmael. I wonder how many times in our lives we have Ishmaels running around in our playground where we didn't want to wait for the child of promise to come. We're going to help God because he needs some help. So let me just get in here and find somebody else to bear some seed. Let me see if I can find somebody else that'll open their womb to my husband. Come on, that alone just offends me. Send my husband into my maidservant. Then she turns on the maidservant. I'm like, girl, you got what you wanted? And then you didn't even want the child. Try to help God out. But ain't God good? Let her bring forth the child of promise anyway. So her expectations were all jacked up. And it produced an Ishmael. What about Hannah? So Hannah, God actually closed her womb. But you know, how about we see God moving and doing things in people's lives? She sees all these women giving birth. She sees the other wife of the husband that she'd given children after children after children. And so in her, she has an expectation that all good women produce children. So there must be something wrong, and there must be something wrong with God because I'm not producing what everybody else does. Sometimes we can look across at somebody else's marriage. Come on, guys. Their finances. Their whatever. We begin to judge. We begin to look at that. But if I had finances like that, oh, if I had a ministry like that, if I had a husband like that, let me tell you what, God knows where he puts people together. You don't even know. Like you might see somebody's husband in church and go, oh, if I could have a husband like that. You don't know what they're like behind closed doors. You don't know like what they're like with your personality and their personality together. You're just looking at how nice they look on Sunday morning. They all smiling, smelling good. They might not ever pick up their laundry. Then you'll be saying, I am not your mother. Oh, but we want things that other folk have. But God knew. He closed her womb because he knew he needed Samuel. Come on, listen carefully. He knew he needed Samuel to come from that womb. See, God implants us in the womb where he wants us. He wanted Samuel to come in that womb and to be delivered because he knew Hannah's heart would be to take that baby Samuel and say, Lord, I thank you for him, but I give him to you. That's hard. Give up your baby as soon as it's weaned, take it to the house of the Lord and leave that baby there. That's hard. Come on, ladies. Let's not act like that's hard. Not every lady can do it. But God knew that Hannah won. So he closed her womb for a season. God may not be opening your womb to a particular thing for a season, because he wants you to bear fruit in another time in a way that would honor him above all others. Let us wait on the timing of the Lord. And even though her womb was closed, she was grieved to the point of bitterness of heart. Can I tell you, if you're looking across at somebody else and grieving because God's not blessed you in the same way, you can't be looking at their situation and looking at God at the same time. Get your eyes off their situation and what you see God's blessed them with. Grandchildren, finances, beauty. Get your eyes off of them and get them back on Jesus. Because in due season, God will open your womb to produce what he needs you to carry. Because you're not designed to carry what somebody else is designed to carry. The seed from your womb is designed for you and you alone. And it's to be brought forth for the glory of God. Seed doesn't come forth to the glory of me. It comes forth that I might glorify the Father. Right? Then we got a little girl named Mary. Right? Can you imagine? 13 or 14, the angel of the Lord comes to her, gives her this big proclamation. Now, she didn't get all her expectations about, oh, blah, blah, blah. Just a sweet little question. How's that supposed to happen? Because mother didn't say. Like, isn't there supposed to be a man involved? We just had that, the birds and the bee talk. And I kind of was thinking there was going to be a man involved. Like, I'm kind of betrothed to one, but we haven't been together yet, so I'm supposed to bring forth a baby because mom didn't talk about that when we had the talk. And the angel of the Lord's like, but the Holy Spirit will come and overshadow you. Well, mom didn't talk about that either in the birds and bee talk. And she didn't say that. She didn't call it that. Overshadowed. He never said that word. But in the preciousness of her heart, she's like, I don't know that I understand this, but be it unto me according to your word. Because I'm going to tell you what, ladies, when you hear God speak, he moves mountains. He creates universes. He makes the dead come to life. Come on, when you can hear him speak. When you can hear him speak, we're not trying to create an Ishmael. We're not grieving because God's not giving us something else. When we hear him speak, let the sound of our voice say, be it unto me. According to your, whatever seed, whatever you want to bring forth in my life, God. Let me not murmur and complain because I don't have what my sister has. But be it unto me according to your word. Wonder tonight what you're carrying. What seed? Is there disappointment because you don't feel like you have the seed that others have? Is there a bitterness? Have you tried to create an Ishmael? You tried to fix things around what you said God was going to do in your life and get ahead of what the Lord... I mean, maybe this is only for me and I'm the only one that the Lord spoke to through this teaching. But there's something about getting to a place of waiting on God and trusting that when God's quiet, he's still up to something. He didn't have to be shouting it out for God to be working in your life, in your marriage, in your children, in your finances. God's in the waiting. I wonder tonight, would you be like Sarah out creating your own way? Would you be like Hannah, envious of what other people have, not waiting on the Lord to give you his perfect seed? Or could we just say tonight, we'd love to be like Mary. Father, be it unto me. See, I think that's what the Lord wants us to end with and be pleased with tonight. Be it unto me according to your word. See, out of her mouth came the declaration, I'll take the seed and it'll glorify you. I'll take the seed. I don't understand it. I don't know how this, I don't even know what that means, but I'll take the seed. According to your word, let it be. Look at Psalm 141:3. Post a guard at my mouth, God, and set a watch at the door of my lips. Maybe the Lord's given you this big vision for your life, and it's like grand, grand, and grand. How about not wounding your seed? How about not aborting your seed because you can't see it? You can carry the Christ child. Carry the Christ child. Who could even, I can't even fathom what that would be like. Something so great. But God put a seal against my mouth and watch the door of my lips that I don't curse the very thing you want to bring life to. Because the Lord showed me as I was praying and preparing for this, there are things in our lives, all of us at different times, where the Lord's had something work in our lives, and yet we didn't see it, and we've not spoken well of it, murmured and complained about it. God wants us to get up out of that tonight. Repent of it. Speak life to it again. Just like those tomatoes. I went out there and I cursed those things. I'm like, this is it. You're done. And then they bring forth life, and I'm out there clapping. So proud of you, little sorry sack of salt. Wait till so many days. But the Lord can renew that in us again, right? Put a guard at my mouth. Now, that's a hard thing to say to the Lord. Because how many of you know if you can pray that in honesty? Guess what God's going to get up and do in about 45 seconds? See, it won't take him long to figure that one out. This is not like 90 days for the tomatoes. Put a guard on my mouth. Come on. Sometimes when my husband and I are going, I need to memorize this scripture. I'm the only one, though. Set a watch at the door of my lips. Don't let me speak in jealousy, envy, anger, judgment. Put all that aside, oh God. Put a guard. Don't let me be a murmurer and not inherit the promise. Don't let me be a murmurer and a wounder of the seed and not get to see the promised land. Because there's expectancy in there. But in the middle, keep that mouth shut, God. I'm with you, sister. Look at this quote by Steve Furtick. What if God didn't meet your expectations in the middle, right? What if he didn't meet your expectations in your timetable because he wants to exceed them? See, God's way bigger than we are, isn't he? So you're believing at this scale, God's believing at this scale. Why? Because the seed that will come forth is for his glory. The seed is for his, come on ladies, the seed is for his glory. And look at this, is your expectation of God based off of his activity? Because if God didn't meet your last prayer, you ain't praying no more. Like, I'm sorry. I prayed about that. I prayed about it once. God didn't do it. How about you pray about it 18 years? Come on, somebody. How about you pray? How long was Noah out there building that ark?
Bam, bam, bam.
All those people making fun of him. I mean, like, really? He just kept to the plan. Why? Because God had spoken and he had expectancy on the other end of it. But in the middle, we got to keep doing the stuff. Right? Because expectancy still sits out there. But it's our expectations that need to be adjusted, not the expectancy that God will honor his word. Come on, right, ladies? Look at this scripture out of Psalm 27:13. I would have lost heart, expelled or aborted my expectancy of God's seed promise unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, that's expectancy all up in your face. I would have aborted the very thing that God told me I was going to do, except for the fact that I know God said I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That means on this side of the river. Come on, ladies. We're not just talking about heaven. We all know when we get there, we're going to have a big fat mansion, a Porsche, a whatever. All those things that you are longing for. I don't know. I think I'm going to be like George Jetson and just translate from one continent to the next. That's what I'm thinking. But we would have killed the very seed, wounded it with our mouths, done away with it, quit it, done over with it, because it didn't happen in the way we thought it was going to happen. Except for I believe that I would see the good of the Lord in the land of the living. Now look at this about Bill Yaunt. I believe the Lord will open our eyes and ears as we close our mouths during these serious days. How many of you know we're in serious days? He will show us great and mighty things that we've never seen or heard before. I'm believing that. How about you? We will begin to see the good of our land, the fruit instead of giants and evil. We need that in our land. We need a revival to begin to see the fruit, the good in our land. Because right now, all I hear everywhere I go is evil, evil, and giants and evil. But remember, two went in and said, oh, there's abundant fruit. When everybody else came out back and said, we can't take that land. But there was a remnant. How many of that? That's us in the room tonight. Let me be a part of that remnant that goes in and says, we are well able to take the land. There is good in the land of the living tonight. We'll begin to see the good, the fruit instead of the giants. We will then begin to pray and say what he says about our lives. Let that be me tonight, Lord. I believe we will even begin speaking blessing to the ground beneath our feet. See that we're talking about the soil here. We're talking about putting seed in the ground with expectancy that it'll produce. Begin to speak to the soil under your feet. Begin to clean out the. Begin to say of the Lord again, I thank you, Lord, that you have plans to do good by me and not harm me, plans to give me a good hope and a good future. And however you plan to do it, be it unto me according to your word. Can you say that tonight? Be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. So how do we cultivate this life of expectancy? One thing you need to do is go back and ask the Lord again to develop it in you. Sometimes we can get negative and bitter. We get a negative bent on us. Go back and ask the Lord. I love Habakkuk 3 and 2. Oh, Lord, now I have heard your report, and I worship you in awe for the fearful things that you are going to do. In the time of my deep need, begin again to help me, as you did in years gone by. Show us the power to save. Actually, another translation says, renew in our day the miracles you did in time past. Anybody want to see that other than me? Renew that in us. So ask the Holy Spirit to renew in you a spirit of expectancy. Read his word and remind yourself that God will perform those things in his word. Number three, release your need to be in control and assist God. And then do the good things. So while you're in that waiting period, what do? In the waiting period, we get up, we love people, we take care of our family, we're kind, we're generous, we touch. Why? We all that stuff, all those just let it go and be thankful that God has a plan to do good by you and not harm you, a plan to give you a good hope and a good future. Look for it daily. Ladies, I want you to stir up your expectancy. I want you to get up, throw the covers off in the morning and go, hey, I got expectancy. What a good day this is going to be. People are going to get saved. The word of the Lord's going to be true. There's going to be Roma tomatoes on the vine soon. Praise him. Then you cover your eyes up at night, go sleep, go covers them. Good morning, Holy Spirit. With expectancy, I get up today. Oh, if we could get a little group of 60 women at New City Church that could start living their lives like that. We get up every morning throwing the covers off in expectancy. The devil will go find somebody else to play with. Because all of a sudden he'll know, you know the word of the Lord, you got it. So, last slide. Just to remind you one more time. Seed and harvest. What are we going to do during that span of time? Love people, do what God's told us to do, keep our mouths shut. Don't curse or abort the seed. Now, here's what I want to do to end tonight. You got your little seed pack, and I realize it's a waxy paper. It might not write on it too easily, but I just want to give you an opportunity. We're going to put a worship song on in just a minute because God is in the waiting. The seed's in the ground. Can you see the seed? When you put the seed in the ground, can you see what's going on? But is something going on? Come on, help me. Yes. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not going on. Just because you can't see God moving on your behalf tonight, he's still moving on your behalf. Is there a place in your life where maybe you've stepped out like Hannah and created an Ishmael? You've gotten ahead of the Lord. You're a fixer, and you're going to assist God. Just write that down. I don't want to fix things anymore. I don't need to help God anymore. I'm going to let go of trying to control God. Or maybe you've been looking at somebody else's ministry, life, family, position, and you need to repent of that as well. Or maybe, you know what? God's been speaking to you about something. Maybe you're going to be the next president of the Pregnancy Crisis Center, and you're going to run this big blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, no. No, I'm... See, here's the thing about Sarah. It was because she was old. So when we get, oh, no, I'm not going to do all that. I'm old. I'm ready to sit in the rocking chair. No, God. Except we need to be saying, be it unto me according to your word. God didn't ask Sarah because she was young or old. He had a plan. Mary was young, but she was still willing. Come on, ladies, we just need to. So on your seed packet, is there something you're believing God for? Is there a dream that you've let go? Is there something in you that you feel like God never fulfilled and you really, really, really believe? I want you to write it on here because there's expectancy in this packet. I don't know how many seeds or how many flowers, but there's expectancy, and God wants to do that. So as we begin to play this worship song, I want you just to have a few minutes of quiet time with just you, and Pastor Jenny's going to close us out. Go ahead, guys.